Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a Booze Dancing Entertainment Network podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy beverages. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com, and if you have any questions, comments, show, or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hello, hello, hello. We are live on a wet, very wet, Whiskey Wednesday. I hear it's wet where you boys are. It is very, very wet here. It is pouring. We apologize for any thunder, lightning, rain pouring through our roofs and making bad noises. So, hi guys, how are we doing?
Doing all right.
Yeah?
Doing good.
Good, good, good.
We're going to be better in about 2 minutes.
We'll be fairer in a few minutes. That's right. This is the Booze Dancing Network Entertainment Network, and this is What We Watch When We Drink, the live version. This will be coming out in a podcast soon enough. Tonight we are live, as usual, on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. Where else? Second City TV, is that a stick place? Are we there too? Is that SCTV?
Sure.
Sure, we're there too.
It can be.
Yeah.
No. It can be.
Well, it's been a few weeks. We usually do these every couple weeks. This is, I think, our 3 week, we had a little respite last week, but we are.
Well, because we had some stuff. We had some stuff on the way in transit.
True. We had some stuff on the way, which we are going to talk about in a bit. Let's see. This is episode 45, and we are going to talk about a brand new, recently released television series on the Amazon Prime, I believe. That's where it's at.
That is correct.
And we are also going to we're going to taste some really fun whiskeys, I think. Peated whiskey, single malt scotches from the Glenallachie Distillery in Scotland. And, is that what we got? I believe it's in Speyside, yeah. Is that right?
Yes.
Yep. So we're doing okay, guys? We're okay to do a podcast? We're all happy and settled down and away from our desk jobs? No, we're not?
Just number three. Away from the desk job.
Oh, okay.
And I did the homework.
We did.
Hey, he did the homework. We pulled an all-nighter.
Impressive.
Pulled an all-nighter.
Drank a lot of coffee.
There were only 8 episodes.
Wow. That's it. Impressive. Well, we'll get into that in a bit. We want to remind everyone that boozedancing.com is all over the place, and the two gentlemen sitting with me are always doing reviews of all kinds of interesting things on mostly on Instagram, but you can find it in lots of places. At the murder table, they are reviewing whiskeys and all kinds of spirits and beer, and so check them all out and post whatever comments you like. And you can post comments in our chat tonight, I think, correct? Right?
Yep,
and we'll be happy to respond to you if we find it worth it. That's what, because we're very,
is that how it goes?
That's how it works here.
You know what we got to do? I watch a couple live streams on YouTube and they do the super chat.
What's a super chat?
Apparently,
what is a super chat?
People pay us. They pay us when they pay to have their like question asked.
What? Oh, wow.
You can do a super chat.
A revenue source. A profit center.
Yeah, but I'm not doing that. We're for free. We're free.
Oh, we're for free. Okay.
We're free. We're generous guys.
Now, in that regard about comments, we always are asking you to send in those cards and letters, and I thought it would be nice to read one that came in. Well, we have many. I mean, I went to the P.O. box, and it was stuffed to the gills. Because we have a P.O. box that actually has gills, and which is kind of weird. It's kind of a fishy P.O. box.
It's a fish, but does it smell like fish?
Sardines? Well, you should smell that. I don't even want to talk about it. Okay, so we have one letter that came in, and we'll skip to this one. I think it's really good to start the show off. This comes from Walter Resnick from Buffalo, New York. Dear Booze Dancers, first time writer, long time listener. Been listening since your days on shortwave radio during the war. I'm not sure what that means. I'm an avid drinker of whiskey and hardcore television watcher. I love anything Sherry Cask and anything starring Lee Majors. I had an idea to put the two together and start a podcast. I have a social media account at Whiskey Walter TV Nerd. I have a professional microphone, a studio in my mom's basement, and even a name for the show, What I Watch When I Drink. It's an homage to you guys. So I'm ready to go. Can you give me any tips that made you so successful in the podcast game? I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks. Hope to see you at the podcast convention in Indianapolis in June. Signing off, Walter. Gentlemen, that's a fan there. His name is his show after us, after our show. Wow.
That's a little narrow focus there with the love of Lee Majors.
It's the million dollar fall guy. The $6 million fall guy.
$6 million fall guy. That's right. What was the other show he was on?
Big Valley.
Big Valley. No, I mean after, later, he had a late career series, like Stetson or some first name or some one word name.
I did not know that.
Fall guy was it. So any tips for the boy, Mr. Resnick?
Yeah, keep drinking.
Keep drinking. That's a good one.
Keep drinking.
Keep watching. Keep drinking.
Keep writing those cards and letters.
And stay in your mom's basement as long as possible. Right?
Absolutely. Hey.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay.
Housing's expensive. You got to save money where you can.
That's right.
The money you don't spend on rent, you know what you could buy?
What?
Whiskey.
That's right.
Booze.
And lots mom's upstairs probably making spaghetti for you, right? Or TV dinner.
Meatloaf. That's a different movie.
All right, boys, let's get into it. And keep those cards and letters coming, folks. We will read them if we find them interesting. We're going to start with, let's start with a whiskey. Because we've got a few of them tonight.
What are we starting with?
Courtesy of our friends at Impact Beverages, Sam Thelmas, Chris Udy. They sent us a nice little pack of these four brand new peated single malts from Glenallachie. And the brand name is...
It's pronounced Mikul Tor.
Two words. M-E-I-K-L-E. T-O-I-R. That is a mouthful. That's a lot of vowels, right?
It is.
So we're going to start with the first one, I believe. Right, Ange?
Yeah. So there's four expressions that they sent us. They sent us the original, which clocks in at 50% ABV. The sherry one, 48% ABV. The chinkapin, 48% ABV. And the turbo, 50% ABV.
Turbo.
So we'll start with the original. Would you like me to read a little bit about it?
Please do.
About the brand, about this Mikul Tor.
Yeah.
So Billy Walker is the man behind Glenallachie, and his comments are, "This incredibly exciting launch is a key milestone for us at the Glenallachie. 5 years in the making, it represents the culmination of our endeavors since we took over the reins at the distillery. Our intention has always been to release a peated single malt, and this is no surprise to those that have followed our journey from the start. Every element of the production process was carefully considered to ensure our vision was met. It's not about accelerating the journey, it's about expanding the experience. One of the key decisions was to significantly extend the fermentation period to 160 hours, creating thick, ester-rich distillate. Another was to use mainland peat, which delivers a more oaky style of smoke. These choices, along with the use of quality oak casks, are all factors steering us in our pursuit of peated perfection." There you go.
Wow. Okay. So
sounds good, right?
I have poured a little bit. So
yes. So the first one is the original 5-year-old, was aged in expertly sourced first fill bourbon barrels, American virgin oak casks, and rye barrels, imparting waves of stem ginger, sweet spice, and oak smoked sugar.
That's interesting. Rye barrels. I'm not sure that I've heard many expressions aged in a rye barrel.
No, me neither. Shall we do a little?
Did they say where they sourced the peat?
They said it was mainland. I guess it's around there.
Yeah,
mainland peat.
Yeah, they said it was mainland peat. So I guess it's peat from Speyside, right?
Probably in the middle of the country.
Or anywhere, I guess, in Scotland.
Yeah, around there. I guess if there's water and there's...
It's not Isla Peat, but I don't know if they mentioned the town it was from.
So no, it just says mainland. It won't be the astringent kind of iodine-y, like Lafroigie.
Gentlemen.
Clink, clink, clink.
Cheers.
Cheers. Happy podcast.
Look at that. Look at that. All right. Let's do it.
All right. Oh, that's a good nose.
That smells good.
So my sample pack had a little bit of spillage. So I've been nosing this since I got my sample pack. It's just been on the counter. Every time you go by, all I'm smelling is a good barbecue. Delicious peat smell.
Does that keep everyone away from you?
No.
And should you say the peat level? Because I think I saw that on the website. I think I saw that it was it says 35 ppm.
35.
Yeah.
35 ppm for these three.
So that's a...
The turbo's different. We'll get to that.
Okay. So 35 is pretty hefty. You know, most of the things that are not...
Yeah.
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, it smells delightful. It smells delightful.
Yeah, it's funny you said barbecue, because I definitely get barbecue off of this.
Yeah, I'm getting brisket.
Mm.
Get me some too.
But you're not getting any brisket.
There's no brisket coming, but...
No, there's no
brisket. Sorry. I can dream. Wah, wah, wah.
Ooh, when we fly out, you'll make us one, right?
Sure, come on out. I'll make you one now. I'll start now. Long, slow cook. Okay. Well, that's got all kinds of good oaky notes.
And... Yeah, it's got some sweetness. It's got some, you know, like you said, like some nice barbecue.
Yeah, you know? There's also like some brown sugar or some burnt sugar, maybe a little bit of cinnamon in there. Definitely some vanilla. Yeah. All right. I'm going in.
All right. Me too.
That's good. That's good. Good.
Oh. It's like a little oily too. That's got a really nice, I know we love to say the word mouthfeel. That has a lovely mouthfeel.
It does. You know, it's not, you said oily. I was thinking.
Yeah.
Just the, not the opposite, but it's not thin. It's got this, it coats well.
Viscous.
I'm not even sure I say oily, but viscous. Thank you.
Yeah, viscous.
Wow. And it's got, what'd you say? It was 50%, right? 50%.
Yeah.
ABV.
That's got some.
That has got a little, it's got some octane.
It's not super sweet.
It tastes older than five. You said it was 5 years? Is that what you said? Yeah.
I think you're right.
It tastes, it's like a richer, Ooh. Flavor to it.
Huh. You know what? I just got like hickory. Like someone I just had like a whole thing of like hickory smoke.
Yeah. You can taste the wood they're cooking the meat over. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. That is delicious.
And like not just heat up front, but heat that runs throughout.
Well, I'm going to go for a second shot here, but I think
it's got a little smoked chipotle. It's got some oak.
Oh yeah. Maybe. It's got a nice lingering, lingering, not even smokiness, but just it's not smoky. It's almost like ashen, to me, like not the fire burning, but maybe it, towards the end.
I got hickory. I'm getting hickory. I'm going to stick with hickory. I'm going with that. I like it.
That's good.
It's not super sweet. It's just got a touch of sweetness to it.
My second gulp, much sweeter. Yeah. Much sweeter. And it's really great. Good. And I agree with you, Mike. If I didn't know how old it was,
it tastes older than
I would have guessed older. Yeah. I wouldn't think
the only thing that I think gives it away is the finish isn't as long as some of the older whiskeys.
But you know what, though? It's odd.
It's good. It's good.
It's like an odd, not odd, just different. It's like my tongue is a little dry. But then I'm getting it like on the roof of my mouth.
Yeah.
Definitely the tongue dryness thing going
front,
on.
Yeah, front and mid palate. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Maybe when I said earlier that it lingered well, I think maybe that might be because it's 50%. But I think it's nice. And it's perfect. My God. All of these whiskeys, I'm sure. But this one especially is perfect for this rainy night here in Los Angeles. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. This is just... awesome. This is great.
You know, I kind of get what you're saying about the ashiness now. Now I'm kind of getting it in the aftertaste.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's on the second shot, it wasn't fiery. It wasn't smoky. It was more like the end of the fire, that kind of smell.
Like later at night when you're having a drink around the fire.
Yeah.
Smoldering embers.
Smoldering embers. That's good. Oh. That is really good. Boy. Do we know what the or should we come back later? Do we know what the retail is on this? Is it available? Are all these available?
Or it's, I would think in the States, it's been released. Yeah. It's a new release. I mean, it's coming from our, this is from their US importer.
Okay.
So I certainly hope so. Okay. I don't know the price, but we could, I guess we can investigate.
We can look that up while we're talking. Okay.
But it's good.
Thank you to Impex for the this wonderful first expression from Glenn Alecky. I'll let you say it again because I can't remember something.
What was it? Mikul Tor.
Mikul Tor. Mikul Tor. I wonder what that
means. They have it.
You know what it means?
I'm sure it's in here somewhere. I don't know.
I'm sure it is too.
I gotta find it. All right.
It means Snooki whiskey.
You talk. Let's not do our. Oh, Big Pursuit. It means Big Pursuit.
Big Pursuit. That's interesting.
Big Pursuit, which you know what ties in pretty good with the show.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. This is Mr. Walker. Right. Mr. Walker, who's got something like close to 60 years in the business, is pursuing a whole different range of whiskeys here. Wow. Very impressive. All right. Thank you, Billy. Okay. Let's get into the watch part of what we watch when we drink. We are going to, we talked about, I don't know how this came up in our discussions. But Angie and I had watched, I think I watched it first, then Angie jumped into it, and then Mike jumped into it. Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Amazon Prime, right?
Correct.
It is a series. It's not like the movie that came out, I don't know, whenever that came out.
20 years ago.
Is it 20 years ago? Wow. Yeah. With who the hell was that in that? That's
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Brangelina. Which I actually recall liking. It was kind of a fun. Not great, but fun. The concept, I think, was fun. It was like two assassins who are out to shoot, but they're married, right? And they're going to have to kill each other.
Yes.
Right. Wasn't that it?
I believe so. That sounds right.
Right. This is a spin on the concept of it, I'd say, right?
This was a reimagining of that show.
Right. And do you have any general details about the
show? So it is the per the IMDb page, just a couple little blurbs. Two strangers land jobs with a spy agency that offers them a life of espionage, wealth, and travel. The catch, new identities in an arranged marriage. The stars are Donald Glover and Maya Erskine, and it's created by Donald Glover and Francesca Sloan, and that's what I got. Okay. So,
it was like 8 episodes, I think, right?
Yes.
And they were about an hour apiece, I think.
Yeah, roughly.
Well, why don't we just, we're going to skip to the end here. Meaning, did we like this series? I think I
liked it a lot.
I loved it.
Mike, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Mike
didn't like the ending.
You did not like the ending. Okay.
I did not like the ending.
Okay.
It's just too open ended for you, or
I didn't like the ending.
Okay. That's fair. What about the series?
This was a TV show in the 90s with Scott Bakula and Maria Bello, a movie with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. And now you look and you're like, all right, Donald Glover and Maya Erskine. Okay. I don't know who these people are.
Tell me about this series with Scott Bakula.
And Maria Bello, where he played like a security consultant and he gets paired with her and she's also a consultant for a rival. And it's the same sort of hooligan kind of stuff that goes on.
It wasn't particularly long lasting, but
it was something that he was in.
So I think it's really, you know, the buddy cop kind of thing. It's two people that you wouldn't normally put together who have been put together by some unknown entity to, in this case, solve various crimes. And in this case, it's not one long arc of crime. It's like old time TV. Each episode is a separate story, a separate crime to, or whatever, episode.
You know what I liked? I kind of liked that they went the old school route. Like, remember how they'd have like a special guest every episode?
Yes, yeah. I do too.
Which, what's it called? Did the same thing. What was the show on Peacock?
Natasha Lyonne's show.
Yeah, Natasha Lyonne's show.
Poker Face?
Poker Face.
Let's say Poker Face.
Where they'd have like a different star every episode, pretty much.
It's a,
which was great. It's like the Love Boat all over again.
It's the Columbo, McCloud, you name those 70s detective shows. It's the same thing. And we loved it because you get to see some, you know, Angie Dickinson one time, and or Lola Falana.
And Joey Heatherington.
Joey Heatherington. You get to see them one time on a Tuesday night at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. And then next week you get to see Raquel Welch come on or, you know, whoever, Ed Asner. And each show, each story was a separate story, but you're kind of learning about the main character a bit. And that second part there, that is what this show is about. It's really about this couple who have been put together and their relationship. It is totally an arranged marriage. Yes. And they don't even know what the bigger picture is.
Hi.
And I like that they showed the passage of time with Sarah Paulson.
Sarah.
They bring her in and she plays the therapist.
Oh, right. She's really good. Yes.
And to show the passage of time, it's like the weekly visits to go see her spread over more than every other week. It's the longest passage of time. So they can see all the different episodes of, you know, disaster that befalls them as they're trying to work things out as a couple.
Yeah.
So
it really is a look at a relationship more than it is a look at this, their spy or whatever the hell they are, whatever their job is, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Right.
Right. It's really about a relationship. And I think
totally.
Maya and Donald Glover, Maya Erskine, they took it because this is a unique spin on the buddy cop, whatever, throwing people together to solve crimes and, you know, do dirty work.
He's the one that put it together. This was his plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his brother.
Well, he's a very talented person. You know, he's been in so many good things like Community and Atlanta, right? And right, he is really talented. And I'd say Maya Erskine is really starting to make a name for herself as well. She's been in Pen 15, where she played a teenager in in high school. And obviously she's not a teenager. And this is only a few years ago. And I think she did it for two or three seasons. She was just in she was the star of a animated, anime, I guess it is, Netflix called
which one is it? Blue-Eyed Samurai? No.
Blue-Eyed Samurai. Thank you, Ange. Blue-Eyed Samurai. She plays the lead character who's a samurai, character. So she's got some mad skills as well, I think. Yeah. So I think it's a really interesting pairing. I think,
What I thought when I first heard they were doing this, it was going to be, Donald Glover and Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Right.
Oh, I did not see that.
And to me, that's a whole different show. And I don't know that it works.
It would be very different.
I don't know. Cause I think she plays more things for laughs.
Yes. And I think,
and this, while there was humor within it, it wasn't like a funny kind of show.
Correct. So Phoebe Waller-Bridge would definitely, she takes up the screen. Yeah. She really pulls a lot of the air towards herself and not in a bad way. Whereas Maya, she's a much more delicate and much more almost wallflowerish. And I think she plays opposite Donald Glover really well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's a terrible, terrible liar.
Terrible.
She's so mean. She's just so mean.
Yeah. There's a lot of little.
That. You appreciate the meanness. Come on. What did you say? What did your dad say to you growing up? What did he say
to you about crying? He didn't say anything. He was always nice.
No. What did he say about the crying thing? Like, I never wanted you coming home crying, right?
Nope. Nobody comes home crying because of something somebody said at school. I'm going to say it here at home.
That's right. So, you know, you like mean. Come on, please.
So our characters are put together to work for some unknown organization. They don't even know who it is. They both have a past to put them in this situation.
We don't know anything about.
We don't know about yet. And they're put together and meant to be quote unquote married. And then they're given an assignment via computer and to go all over Kingdom Come, across the globe to root out, I don't know if it's evil or not. root out good. We're not sure. They live in a very expensive brownstone in Brooklyn or someplace, in somewhere in New York City. Who's somebody saying hi to us? Who's that?
Hi.
That's us. Yes. That is the computer talking.
That's the overlord.
Hi. The overlord. Hi. Yes. Yes. And then, like we said, each episode they are given this hi. Their leader gives them a job, and they have like to go solve this or kill someone or save someone or whatever.
Yeah. All over through text messaging.
Yes. Very odd. Yes.
Life.
And they, while they're doing this, they have to, they're doing this as a couple, but they're also doing this as partners in this level of tactical, work, I guess.
Well, what'd you say in the first episode? You said it was like a Soviet technique where they pair up.
Yes.
Husbands and wives, because they're less conspicuous.
Yes, and it reminded me very much like the Americans.
The Americans.
Right.
I was going to say, what was your favorite show with the couple where they just blend in?
The Americans. That's right. And they did. They do, although their next-door neighbor in this brownstone is curious about who they are, what they are, what they're doing. And they're also having to keep this from their family, Donald Glover's mother, for instance. And... keep things kind
who
of
actually up. Is Donald Glover's mother.
Yes.
Is that right? I did not know that.
That is his mom.
Oh my God. She was great. That makes me happy.
I thought she was really good.
But I liked how the neighbor gets revealed at the end.
Yes. That is great. Yes. That was spectacular. I think the level of detail to each episode is really fascinating. Whether it's about where they live specifically or the specific job they're doing, it cannot have been a cheap show to
no.
Right? They did that whole episode in what's that, Lake Como?
Como. They were up in Italy. They were in the mountains. They were up in what were they, Cortina d'Ampezzo or whatever.
I mean that
up in the Dolomites.
They put Amazon put some money. Well, granted, Amazon has a lot of money, but Amazon put some money behind this thing, and
that's correct.
So when you buy your razors from Amazon Prime and get it tomorrow, you know that a small portion of that goes to Donald Glover.
Yeah, goes to support
my
show.
I think the show did pretty well. It's doing pretty well.
Yeah,
I'd be surprised if it doesn't get repicked up again.
I would be surprised too. And it's left to a second season easily, right? I think at the end.
Yeah.
What I thought was interesting is they play John and Jane, and they're just these two random people, and it kind of leaves it open to a new John and Jane, or maybe them. You don't know.
An interesting point. That's a where really
becomes, you know, are they replaced or are they not replaced? Because you could roll the show out with two new people.
That's a great like
True Detective
thought.
And pair two more people up and see what happens.
Much
but I
like,
think I want more of them.
I want more of that too.
I think it works well with them.
Yeah.
But if for whatever reason they were like, look, we signed on for 8, we don't want to do anymore. You've certainly left it open-ended for the premise to bring it back with two other people.
That is a really interesting idea. Much like make it almost like an anthology series. Much like True Detective, where you're just getting another pairing of actors every year. But they seem to work really well together. I was a little bit not sure about either of them, even though I liked them individually. I wasn't sure how they were going to work together. And I thought they played this couple who's not really, they're put together, but become closer than that. They do, I guess, fall in love and kind of really play the husband and wife thing well in reality too. And all the ups and downs that a relationship is going to have. We can't really gather how long this period of time is. I don't think. I don't remember if we can figure that out. But whether it's a few months or a year or what. But they hyper hypersonically move this relationship along
in
the show. Why don't we stop there for a sec and we'll move on to another whiskey here on number two, Wet Whiskey Wednesday on What We Watch When We Drink. That's way too many W's. And this is Booze Dancing Entertainment Network. And we are happy to have you guys here with us.
You want more W's?
Yeah, sure.
It's Wet Whiskey Wednesday on the World Wide Web.
On the World Wide Web.
That's right. Is that still a thing?
It is still. Much like the Super Information Highway.
That's right.
Okay, what is our second one, Ange?
The second one is from the Sherry one.
From the Michael Tour. Is that what it's called? I made that up.
Yeah, Me Cool Tour.
Me Cool Tour. That was was my soccer name.
Yeah. So this is the Sherry one. After initial period in American oak, the Sherry one underwent additional maturation in quality, Pedro Jimenez and Oloroso Sherry Puncheons. The result is a single malt with impeccable balance between dark fruits, mocha, treacle, and puffs of earthy peat smoke.
Well, is that right?
So they say. By the way, quality casks. No crap casks.
No.
Good
casks.
This is good ones. No crap.
Now,
no crap.
It's funny you said that, the Sherry One, and I realized that is really what it's called. Sherry.
Yes,
the and then Sherry the word one. Yes.
One.
One. Yes.
All right. Sherry One. Sherry One.
Well, that definitely has a Sherry nose to it.
Look.
Does it not?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sweetness.
Does it say how long it's in the sherry cask?
Does it say how long it's been in the sherry, my friend?
Would you two like to be alone?
Maybe later.
No, you could stay. You could stay. It doesn't say. No, it does not say how long. So, I mean, but they're all 5 years old, right? So maybe it went 4 years and then a year in sherry.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was a year or if it's a couple months.
Yeah, no idea. No idea.
Also 35 ppm.
Decidedly different nose. It's not so,
totally different.
Yeah.
Barbecue.
Different cast, totally different.
Yeah.
48%. Mainland peat from St. Fergus, where St. Fergus is.
Hold on a second. I'll be right back.
Wow.
Oh.
This actually tastes hotter.
Yeah, this is more than 48%. That was a lie.
I think you're right. Boy, this is...
That's a lie.
One,
going in now.
It's very hot. Two, it's very dry. This is like a dry sherry, I think. Wow.
That's good.
Ooh.
It's puckery. Let's say puckery.
Ooh, puckery.
And
puckery.
Yeah, and there's and because of that, I get a little bit of citrusy notes to it. As well as your kind of sherry dark fruit thing.
I'm just having my first taste. I'm gonna have a second one. I just got a little hit of spice on the back end.
Yeah,
like right in the middle of my tongue, right in the middle.
I don't think it feels as viscous as the first one.
No, not nearly.
Way more of a punch.
Yeah,
way more of a punch.
It's wow. It's definitely
punchy.
Definitely dry. Definitely very dry.
Right, what do you guys think about drier whiskeys?
I don't mind them. I think I like the first one better, though.
Yeah,
I think I like the original a little better.
I'm kind of the same because I'm not a huge sherry cask fan, but it's very interesting, though.
I mean, it's good.
Just
it's good, but if I had a choice between the two. I like the original better because I just like that hickory thing that worked a little more for me. It was more smoke forward, you know?
Yeah, I definitely don't get the
I don't get as much peat on this one.
No, not.
It's more like tobacco-y maybe or almost like a pipe wrappers. Tobacco of some sort.
Wrappers, yeah.
Not so much a cigar, but more like a sweet pipe tobacco.
Yeah.
So just while we're talking, we talked about this earlier. We didn't know what these things retail for. I just looked at one website here in California. And
the whiskey shop in San Francisco?
It was a whiskey shop, yeah. Which
look at that.
I don't see the one.
Not to the price.
I don't see it. Yeah, right. I'm gonna keep looking a bit. Oh, there we go. I just saw it. So the original runs about $75. The sherry one itself is $75, and it looks like the other two that we're gonna try are the same, I think.
Okay. That's not bad.
No, it's not actually bad at all.
That's how you know how like desensitized we are. That's not bad.
I know. That's the new, it's the new world. It's the definitely the new world. So this is
not terrible.
No, I think this is one of those, these are quality. Well, at least the first two are pretty high quality whiskeys from a pretty legendary person. Making stuff, you know, this is not some little startup guy in, you know, on a farm in Scotland. This is a person who's legendary, right? And he's not messing around here. And I would guess that although these might be the standard expressions, you know that they're probably aging stocks longer. So you're going to get a 10-year one at some point and maybe older ones as well.
It's good. It's good. Again, I prefer the first one more.
Yep.
But this is nice.
Although I think, you know, on the sherry cask, you know, maybe the thought is a sherry cask drinker doesn't want a whole, although it's peated, doesn't want peat in your face so much. So that is not what this is. It's not a peat in your face expression.
No, this is definitely a more approachable peat.
Yes, correct. The dryness.
Well, the second one is.
That's what I mean, the second one. Yeah, well, in general, right. And this one, the peat, even though the peat level is the same, it doesn't have that same in-your-faceness as the first guy.
I would agree.
Right?
I would agree. Yep.
But I didn't think the first one was that bad.
No.
I'm not a big peat guy. I still think it was okay. It added to the flavor.
You know, you say that, okay? I want you to go count what's under the house.
Hey, zip it, buddy.
I'm just saying.
You know,
there's me kicking and screaming.
I know. There's a
whole department under the house called Pete. There's a whole peated department. So don't let him.
And he's got a guy named Pete
who runs a shop.
Curate the collection.
That's right.
He's one of my minions. I have the minions under the house.
One of his minions.
Little yellow guys are out there.
His name is Pete Minion.
Pete the Minion. Pete the Minion. Okay. All right. Back to the show. Now, did you have a favorite episode?
I always like first episodes. You know, I love the setup, right? And the first episode with the Skarsgård, just like,
that's great.
You can't. Yeah. It's hard not to like a Skarsgård.
So, and can we say spoilers or no? I guess it doesn't really.
Yeah,
matter,
it's
right?
been out. Most I think people. Sure, it's been out for.
It's been out for a while.
A while. You definitely can spoil this thing to no end.
So I don't know if it was said in the show or I read it somewhere, but I think the thinking was that the couple played by, what's her name? Parker Posey.
And I don't know
the other guy's name.
I don't
His
know
name
was.
Is Wagner Moura. I guess he's Spanish. Yeah. He sounded Spanish, right?
Brazilian.
Oh, Brazilian. Okay. So those two, I think, were supposed
to be.
I believe they were the ones in the beginning that killed Stellan Skarsgård. I mean, Alexander Skarsgård and.
Yeah. That's all they do. They say that. That's all
they
do.
Just, right.
Their sole job is to kill John and Janes.
Right.
Right. Yeah, they have
and they comment that. The John and Janes get to the point where they think they can get out and they can't.
Yes.
There's no getting out.
They're stuck.
Right.
So they hunt them down and finish them off.
So it's like the mafia.
Yeah. Oh,
I guess
this guy, sorry to interrupt you guys. This guy, Wagner Moura.
Mm-hmm.
He's Pablo Escobar in Narcos.
Oh, okay.
And that's a pretty big deal.
I never saw Narcos.
I never did either, but it's a pretty big deal. So he's not some fly-by-nighter. He's got but you know, 20 episodes behind him in that.
Yeah.
And a fair amount of other things that are a lot of things that look like they're Brazilian or from other Latin countries.
Yeah. So anyway, favorite episode. Do you like the pilot the best, or?
I think I did. I don't know the best, but I really enjoyed it because I love the setup of these things and how's this going to start? Where is it going to? Where am I? What am I going? How are they going to put these people together? I always do that, and I did love the episode with Parker Posey and Wagner Moura. That was really fun. Was the dinner party. Oh my god, that was really good. And just two couples getting to know each other, and it was all nice. And they're talking about their jobs, which was odd. I thought that was the bit far. This is the farce of the show that you would probably try to keep this really kind of under the rug. You wouldn't be just assuming the person. Wouldn't you like assume the worst about someone who's trying to come into your house right? You know, but they're really it's kind of weird. But I, you know, suspend the disbelief there for a moment. That was a really fun couples episode.
There you go. I kind of like the episode in the mountains. The one in the mountains was cool just because, you know, Sharon Horgan was in it. She was great.
Yes.
She was really good. And also, even while the John Turturro one was weird, but I like John Turturro.
Yeah, that was weird.
I could have done with more of John Turturro.
You could have done with more of him?
More of him. He's just a good actor. He turned out to be high or something, that would have been, to me, if you had him as a recurring character, that would have been great. Like in The Americans, you had Margot Martindale.
Right.
Yeah.
If you had one person, it would be like the constant, like, good person for them, as opposed to the Parker Posey character. And I think Turturro would have been great.
So, remember in Magnum P.I., what was it, Robin Masters? He was the guy with the estate?
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Same kind of thing.
So you never saw him, right?
Nope.
Right.
So that was the high of that show. And then you've got Charlie on Charlie's Angels.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was the voice high. But at least he had a voice. Now we've been reduced to text messages.
Yeah. The voice on Charlie's Angels.
How much lower can they go?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you think about it. You know, nowadays when you call somebody, you text them first. Hey, are you available for a call? As opposed to just calling them.
Yeah. Right.
Now when somebody calls you, it's like, oh, what do you want? What are you calling me for?
Yeah.
This is how we used to do business. Why are you calling me? Yeah, I know.
Oh. And then once they call me, they realize, why did I call that guy?
So you're more of a bye-bye as opposed to a hi-hi.
No, yeah, I'm a so long.
This is another show where technology is a big part of it, right? This is the modern age. Yeah. It's not the scene with a guy dialing the phone and waiting for it to ring or letting it ring and ring and ring and ring. This is modern technology with computers and iPhones and such to communicate, right?
Yeah. Actually, you know, when I think about it, I think I kind of like the episode with the psychiatrist.
Yeah, with Sarah Paulson. Yeah,
she was Sarah Paulson. Yeah, Sarah Paulson. She was pretty good.
She's great.
She was so like
I'm.
You know, like low key snotty about everything.
Totally. Yes.
It's like, you know, like she's enlightened and all this crap. But she
brought that from my childhood home.
And she's as materialistic as anybody else, right?
Exactly, yes.
Oh, the floors, they're from my old home. Yeah. That was from an artist I met in Paraguay.
Yes.
Or wherever
it was his last work.
Yeah.
And he called it my last work.
Actually, you know what was great with that episode too? When they leave and she's all just like exasperated and the kid's calling him and she just breaks out the vape pen.
Yo, right.
Mommy's working. Just go away.
And then when she's standing outside calling the fire department, and all she keeps saying is, I have a lot of very nice things in there.
As they're driving off, yes.
Caricatures
of the special guests in each episode are just really special. A little bit different in The Bear, because The Bears are some of those characters are ongoing, the special guests, but these people, I was going to say Ron Perlman, who I'm not a huge fan of Ron Perlman, but he was
good though.
He was really good. He played that. He's almost like the drunken uncle, right. And they have to take care of him and they're, because it's, you know, they really want to, but there's no one else that's going to do it. So you might as well do it. We got.
I love that you heal with the cigarettes and just take the medicine for your stomach.
Yes.
I don't have any cigarettes. I was just lying. Just maybe take them out.
And then at the end, he pulls one out. He's had them the whole time. He just wanted to get one.
It was good. Plus, it's Como. It's beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
And they're standing on like an 8-foot roof. It's for the drop down. And he pushes him off. And he's like, "You threw me off a roof." Like it was
threw an old man off a roof.
It was 60 feet off the ground. And you're like, "Come on." It was a little thing.
He's like a big baby, right? The whole time.
Yeah. I want to get to
that. Catch my breath.
I want to get to the action stuff in our next segment. But because that's a big part of the show too. It's interesting how in some of these kinds of shows where you have a special guest, like a Ron Perlman. And for me, I'm not a big fan of Ron Perlman, who comes on in this short scenes or an entire episode and they just kill it. And all of a sudden wow, you know what? I need to look at that guy again. He's really good. He was really good in this. And
he was.
I think these are really, not that I put Jamie Lee Curtis in this category, because I love Jamie Lee Curtis, but the way she is in The Bear, she just comes on and just knocks it out of the park, right? Yeah. And blows you away. I think and I don't want to necessarily put this in the older aged actor, these folks that come on, like Curb Your Enthusiasm, we have those characters that come on once in a while, and you don't see them very much in other shows anymore, and they come on and they just kill it. And they're just like, wow, they just walk on and pinch hit and boom, Homer.
Well, the one episode of going back to Poker Face, the one at the senior living place.
Senior living, yep.
Who was the woman? What's her name?
Judith Light. Yeah, Judith Light. Yes.
Oh my God, she was tremendous.
She was amazing. Yeah. Yeah. And Chloe Sevigny is in one too, right?
Yeah.
And there's a I love this concept of going back to this world of
old style classic
episodic
TV.
And they're not all connected, and you get these folks in for one episode, they just nail it and boom, they're just awesome. I love it.
Right. I mean, Succession did the same thing, right? I mean, they brought in Brody for an episode, and they brought in a few other folks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a really great way. And for a lot of these people, they don't want to do a whole series, right?
They don't want to
out. I'll come in and do an episode. Sure, we'll knock it out of the park in Lake Como. Although I'm sure he wasn't. Well, maybe he wasn't Lake Como. I don't know.
It looked like Lake Como. I think they actually went there. It looked pretty good.
They did. And
you find someone who lives out there and you say, "Hey, you're here vacationing. Would you do a show for a day and a half? Come on over here."
You should have got Clooney. Sure, why not? He was probably at the house.
Yeah.
What the hell's he doing? Yeah. He's got nothing to do.
No, that
maybe that was his house.
Yeah. There was a couple. Maybe. Let's see, who was in there? John Turturro, Sharon Horgan, a couple of these names I don't remember. Billy Campbell.
He was the husband for Sharon Horgan.
Oh, that's okay. Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Parker Posey, I could watch her read the newspaper.
I'm the opposite. I'm not a big Parker Posey fan.
It's funny. Yeah.
She had moments.
Yeah. She's always doing the weird stuff, right? Going back to
the she was the independence movie queen, wasn't she?
She was.
She was in like every indie
from
the
90s. She
was the
indie queen.
Yep. At one point, yeah.
Yep. And Dave Attell's in it, and I don't know who this Isa Gonzalez, that was the woman in the first episode with the Skarsgård. A Mexican actress and singer. I don't know her. She was in Dust Till Dawn.
But you want to know her.
Dust Till Dawn, the series. She was in Baby Driver.
Yeah, I like that she just goes and says, once Skarsgård goes down, she just grabs a gun and goes outside, and I'm just taking as many people as possible.
Yeah.
We're just going to blow them all away.
That's a good relationship, too. Okay. Well, why don't we take a pause here and we'll move on to another whiskey.
Oh, whiskey number three. Whiskey number three.
From the Glenallachie folks. Got to also remind me to remind us to thank our friends at Impex Beverages, who sent us these, this wonderful little box of samples. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Chris, and everyone at the home offices there. What's number three there, Ange?
The Chinkapin.
Chinkapin. Sure.
What's the deal with the Chinkapin?
What is the deal with the Chinkapin?
I don't know. I'm trying to find out.
It's a different kind of oak.
Ah, okay. Here we go. The Chinkapin one was first aged in American oak before being transferred into Superior Chinkapin virgin oak barrels from the Northern Ozark region of Missouri. We could have done Ozarks with this whiskey. My God.
Gosh.
Drinkers, and you know what the Ozarks are, right?
The Redneck Riviera?
Redneck Riviera.
That's right. Our apologies to any rednecks out there. Drinkers can anticipate smoke spices, roasted nuts, campfire smoke, and creme brulee. Who doesn't love creme brulee? Who doesn't love creme brulee? I ask you. I'm going in.
I love it.
I'm pouring.
Again, this is a 35 ppm, and this is 48%, I believe, right?
Interesting. Yeah, this is a little bit. I wonder how to make the decision. Like, okay, that's good at 50. That's good at 48. Like, how do you make that call?
Or is it maybe we didn't have
enough of this one, and we add a little more water?
Maybe they're looking for a barrel yield to be like we need 200 bottles or 2,000 bottles or something.
It's playing around with it to where does this thing hit the notes that Billy Walker and their team want?
Right.
And 50 didn't work. 47 didn't work. 48 is the happy spot.
And where's the sweet spot? Yeah.
Yep.
Goldilocks.
Right.
Exactly. Too soft, too hard, just right.
Oh, this is just right.
Ooh.
And again, on the nose, totally different than the other two.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Talk about the sweetness. This actually, dare I say, has a Kalila-like sweetness, dare I say. It's pretty sweet.
Dare you?
Dare I?
Oh, yeah. I get that.
I dare you to say it. I dare you to say it again.
Kalila-like sweetness. There, I said it.
Kalila. There's almost a little salinity with this one.
There is a little bit of, yes.
Which brings in the Kalila flavor, because that's the sweet and the salt.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, that's nice. I think I might like this one the best so far.
Wow. And this is a good 48, right? It doesn't punch in the face. No. Doesn't burn your mouth. This is a good sipper, I think. This might be a really good
sipper. That's nice.
Wow.
That is nice. That's really good. Hold on.
Oh, boy. That one could be good on ice cream.
Creme brulee. There you go.
And it's got
butter pecan. I got butter pecan. Pour it in some butter pecan.
Go get some.
I just had some.
And a little bit of lingering heat and a little bit of lingering peat. A little bit of
that's nice.
And I think a little bit more of a finish. You get a little bit more.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, like the first one's really good. I really like the original, but that's a little wispy.
Yeah, short finish. Yeah.
This one kind of like has a little bit more lingering notes. I don't find it particularly hot.
No, that's what I mean. It's a nice 48. I mean, maybe this is the kind where you'd say, is this 48? Maybe it's 46, 45.
I'd kill to be 48.
No kidding. This one does not have that cast strengthiness to it, which is fine. I don't always need that. It's a whiskey with a 4 and an 8. Boy, this is
that's good. That's really, really good.
That is good. I think I've had, with you guys, a different whiskey that was finished with chinkapin finish. I don't remember
it sounds
where it
familiar.
Was. It does really sound familiar. I don't know where that was, where I've had that. I don't know. It's fun to say.
That's good.
Chinkapin.
Chinkapin.
It's my little It's my little digital toy that I play with and try to keep alive all the time.
Chickapin.
Is that like a chia pet?
You got
it. Is that
me.
What it is?
Well, not a chia pet. It was a Tomoyaki. Toma, what was those things called? My kids.
Tomagotchi?
Yeah, Tomagotchi! Tomagotchi! That was.
You forgot, the ones you got to feed them?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you feed them digitally, yeah.
I'd let, they would die in my hands. They would
die in my hands. Well, your kids are alive.
Neglect.
Barely.
They would die. Well, that's because they yell. That's because they yell. I just give them food to shut them up.
It's funny you say kids.
Is it funny?
It is funny.
I say a lot of funny things.
I thought of this show a few times as I didn't know where it was going to go. And I thought, I don't know how what the arc was going to be time wise. Is she going to get pregnant, Maya? And maybe down the road, if this is a season two or season three, does she have a baby, or are we crossing the proverbial? Are we the shark jumping the shark? But that would be an interesting change of pace for a relationship wise it makes sense.
Well,
but their job wise it doesn't make sense. Well, that's funny.
Mr. Incredible and Elastigirl, you know, they had what, three kids?
That's right. They had three kids.
Now you married Elastigirl?
Oh my god, that's like you two then. You two were like you're like Mr. Incredible and Elastigirl.
Oh.
All right, you got three kids each.
That's right.
You got a Jack Mike. I've seen the youngest turn red. Gotcha.
He's in the large phase right now. He hasn't shrunk back down lately.
Jack. It's funny. Not to change topics too much, but I just finished a show on Netflix called The House of Ninjas, Japanese show. And it's a live action show about a family of ninjas, mom and dad and two adult sons, a teenage daughter and a little kid like Jack and grandma. And but it's not a comedy. It's pretty serious, with a little bit of humor to it. And it was similar in feel somewhat to The Incredibles in terms of the family dynamic, right?
Right.
Not the humor. And that movie, The Incredibles, is so great. I need to rewatch that. It is.
We
might have to do that
one
for this.
We got
to
do it.
We might have to do it. It is.
You know what?
So
then our podcast will be in danger.
That's right. Anyway,
money.
Where is my super suit?
save it. Don't
save,
go too far.
Save the frozen.
Don't go too far, darling.
You push too hard.
You don't push too hard, darling. Don't push too hard. Yes. Well, come on, save it. Anyway,
there is.
Keep going.
So in the Incredibles, there is a fair amount of violence and action. Correct. Cartoon version. This show, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, has a lot of action too. And I guess because I thought of the movie with Brangelina, you know, there was a lot of action in that thing too. And from what I read about this, I kind of assume there'd be a little bit, just a little bit, because of what their jobs are. I did not expect the level of chases and shoot 'em up stuff that there was, and I thought it was really, really good. It was somewhat over the top in some aspects of it, but I thought it was really fun violence in a lot of ways. And I've gotten to the point in my life where I don't really like watching a head get smashed in. I don't, even though it's fake, I don't really like watching that.
I like a good fight scene. I enjoy the
A fight scene's fine. I don't need to see like a guy's literally a head.
Yeah, they're gratuitous violence. Yeah.
Well, and what would happen to the human body if a bowling ball actually hits it? I don't need to see that. But I like, you know, diving under tables and using a refrigerator as a shield and you know, motorcycling through the middle of a town in the middle of nowhere in the Alps or something. I think that's really fun. And I think they did this really, really well.
They did.
And or the whole thing up on the ski slope in the snow. That was really cool. That was really fun.
Agreed. You know what actually was fun in terms of like the when she's in the elevator fighting that guy and he's running up the stairs.
She's yelling at the floors.
And he's running out of breath. It was just so funny. He's just running out of breath.
He's an asthmatic. Yeah.
Well, you know what? If I had to go up 18 floors, I think I'd be dead too. Good.
No, but he's an asthmatic to start. They mentioned he's got to run up all these stairs.
Yeah.
Because he's too slow to get to the elevator.
Yeah. The whole, well, we're jumping a little bit ahead, but with the whole, is it the last episode where the big battle between them is just, it's not, I wouldn't say horrific, but it's a bloody violent fight and things get shot up and things get destroyed. Their wonderful new house is just in tatters.
That's a hell of a house.
It's a hell of a house. According to the guy next door, it's a hell of a house. That guy knows.
That's a hell of a house.
He knows because
the guy next door, it was what he says, you've combined two brownstones, but I don't see how the income is possible. You can't make that much. You
put in the software.
You put in an underground garage. That was $25 million at least.
Where's the software? My husband
and I don't see how it happens.
That's so funny. And he's like the one guy that doesn't buy it. Everyone else. Yeah. Everyone else. Oh, wow. Nice just, place. Sure.
Nice place.
Why not?
Good job.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I enjoyed the action part of it because it could have been, they could have done this on a very, very subtle level. And there isn't, because if they're trying to play up the relationship part, the action could be pretty, pretty behind the scenes. You don't really see it. But I think the relationship, but it actually is a bit of a metaphor for the relationship as well, right? How are they acting together? They've got this thing that they do together. How are they working together to take down the bad guy? Or how are their fights like? How do they interact with each other?
And when they're behind the scenes, what happens?
Yeah, totally. So that was really fun to watch. Another thought on the violence. There's a lot of blood in this show. He bleeds a lot. She bleeds a lot. And
he's a bleeder.
He's a bleeder. He's a bleeder. Yes. And you watched Atlanta, right? I didn't watch.
Yes.
I saw a few episodes of it. You really enjoyed it, as I recall.
I did. Yeah. The last two seasons were a little like they split it up, the last season, the two.
Yeah.
That was a little uneven, but there were moments. But I really like the cast. The cast is great.
Yeah.
You know, they're just really, really good. Donald Glover and was it William Tyree Henry and Zazie Beetz. They're just a really good bunch. I can't think of the other guy's name. But they're all really good together.
And Glover was also in Community, which he was just part of an ensemble cast.
Oh, he was great in Community.
But he was so good in that. And you don't really, thinking back, you don't really see him as, oh, this guy's going to be a big star. I didn't see it, right? He's just one of the seven or eight people. I mean, hey, Chevy Chase is the big star.
Don't forget the music career.
And don't forget the music career.
He's got the whole music career too. Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino. He's got more Grammys than he does Emmys.
Yeah.
He's good, man. I like him. I even like the Childish Gambino stuff. You know, it's
funny you said music. We're talking about the two stars here.
I'm a very funny guy.
You are a funny guy.
Tell you otherwise.
Talking about, let's talk about Maya Erskine for a second. So she was born here in LA, and she is the daughter of Peter Erskine. Peter Erskine is a famous jazz drummer. And and her mom's Japanese. Peter Erskine's not Japanese. Peter Erskine is famous for, and I believe she might have went to music school, I think, or had some musical background too. Peter Erskine is famous for, he's a music teacher, I believe. Actually taught a little, I think he actually taught Neil Peart from Rush when Neil Peart wanted to go back and relearn the drums a bit. So he's a pretty well known and a still active drummer.
Can I stop you there? What's Rush? What are you saying? Rush?
This little band. Tiny little band.
A niche, some sort of a local niche cover band you like. That's nice.
Correct. Yes. Did you guys see Pen 15?
I tried. It was a little creepy.
It was, well, it's previewing, I guess, when you're a little older, but it's actually a really good show that looks at teen life in high school, awkwardness, and it's Maya Erskine and Anna Corkle, I think her name is. I'm not sure. I think okay. She might have been on Saturday Night Live. It's really good, and it's adults who are playing well, at least they are. I'm not sure about the other characters, if they're actors or if they're kids or not. But these are like 30 somethings or whatever they were at the time, playing kids. And I remember watching the first couple episodes. Wow, these two, and I didn't know who they were. These are really good kid actresses. They're not kids; they're adults. But they do that really well. And the awkwardness of that era of that part of your life was done really
well. Hey, Mike. Here's a tidbit about Peter Erskine. He is from Summers Point.
Wow,
born in Jersey.
Oh, Jersey wow, guys. Yeah.
So he was in Weather Report. He was
Weather Report. That's the big. That's the big one, right? Weather Report.
Oh yeah, right. I remember that one. That's who was the one guy? Jaco Pastorius.
Jaco Pastorius.
Wasn't he the? He was.
Yeah, I think he played with them. Yeah, but
right.
He's been in a lot of bands over the years and session drumming and looking at his. He was in Stan Kenton's orchestra. There you go, man.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, that's a big deal, right? Stan Kenton. Yeah. He was on Kate Bush albums. He was he's worked with other famous folks, and so
okay.
So
there you go.
We're not and his list of music, his music discography is fairly long. Okay, should we move to our final whiskey?
The last one?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Last one. Is it called the last one?
No.
The way they roll them all out.
It's the Turbo.
The Turbo. Okay.
The Turbo. You ready for this one?
We are ready.
Okay, so the Turbo.
I can't get it open now.
You can do it.
Jeez. Yeah, I got it.
Okay. All right, so the Turbo, a super limited annual bottling, captures the heart of the heart of the peated distillate. The spirit cut with the highest phenol content. The 2023 edition, a run of just 2,500 bottles, 600 for the U.S., was left to slumber in 3 American virgin oak casks and 5 Oloroso sherry hogsheads for 5 years. The resulting whiskey is said to offer a powerful punch of peat, amounting to a spirit PPM of 71, alongside notes of toasted honeycomb, burnt orange peel, and worn leather.
You know, I have 2 words. Hey and
talk
now.
To me.
Hey and now.
Hey now.
Hey now.
Did you say 71?
71.
So before I even put my nose on this thing, there's a lot of, I hear more about this now than ever before, about the peat levels and where they're measured. Are they measured before the barley gets processed? Is it after?
Are you gonna get
sciencey? Just a little bit. So you never know where this number is coming from with all these distilleries. Ardbeg, you know, professes to say 55 ppm. That's their part of their logo or their advertising. And who else? You know, Octomores from Brooklotti run from like 100 ppm to 300 ppm. But nobody knows where and how that's measured. So it's a little bit, the number never means much anymore because there's no like definitive measurement for all this stuff. But I'm guessing 71 is pretty peaty. I don't even know, but I'm guessing it's pretty peaty. So here we go.
Yeah, but you know what, though? We've had Octomores where they say it's like...
That's
the point, right?
That's
the
point.
I get it.
Yeah.
McEwen. You round them down with barreling, so it's not as
well, that's
jarring.
It. You're trying to round it out, balance, and make it palatable. On the nose, peated, but not super peated.
I'm getting it. It's a little more vapory, I think, than the other.
I put a couple drops of water in it just to see if it would open it up a little bit.
This was 50%. Okay.
So we're back to the original.
Now, this combination of all these casks is just nuts, right? What was it?
They're in the lab. They're like, let's grab that.
3 American virgin oak casks.
Yep.
5 Oloroso hogsheads. And what did you say? It was 2,500 barrels? 2,500
bottles?
2,500
bottles. 600 for the U.S.
Wow.
So and this is a 2023 edition.
Thank you again to our this, Impex.
Yeah, Impex. No, thanks.
Yeah.
But the color on this is darker than the sherry one.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you're right.
It is dark.
That this is probably
the darkest of the four. You call the sherry one. You think that would be darker than this
you
one?
You are right. Yeah. Well, but, you know, we're talking about, you know, pretty intense aging here with the five Olorosos.
You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm. Let me just make sure it's not my hand. No, it's, well, maybe it is. I thought it was. What? I almost thought I was getting like, almost like a like an Indian spice, like a curry kind of thing.
I don't get that.
But I think it might be whatever's on my hand. So who knows?
I definitely. I'm getting Oloroso, getting the dark fruits.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go for it.
Yeah, here we go.
Showtime.
It's an assault. There's a lot going on there.
There is a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Whoa.
My God.
Holy moly.
Where do you start?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Vinegar. Fire. Yeah. Charcoal. saltiness.
It's got a little mesquite.
I was going to say.
I think it's mesquite. You're
like,
right.
It tastes
I think
like mesquite it's, as the opposed smoke to is mesquite. Hickory or something else.
Oh, this is really a mesquite. This actually has a Delbachness to it. You're right.
Maybe. Or like some of the Kilhomans, like some of the funky like Kilhomans they've done, because they've done some that are sort of like that. Like the PX gas Kilhomans.
Yeah. Wow.
They have a little bit of that.
Holy moly. This is pretty good. And again, I'm not a huge sherry cask person.
There's almost too much for me going on here.
It's fun.
And at the end, it's a little like cough syrupy. A little bit of like a cherry syrup.
Interesting.
Is what I'm getting.
Nah.
But it could be the stroke I'm having. I'm not really sure.
Exactly. You're having a stroke. No, it's good. I get a little bit, like you said, a little Delbachy, a little Kilhoman-like. Because I know we've had a few that like back in the, you know, way back that had a little bit of that kind of going on.
This definitely has, a fortified wine taste to it or feel
sure,
to it.
Sure, 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 sure.
Are you saying sure, sure, sure in agreement or mocking?
In agreement. In agreement.
In agreement, not mocking?
No.
But
no.
There we go. Sure.
Again, I don't get this as 50% either.
No, it feels softer than 50%.
Oh, you know what? I just got the orange peel.
Oh,
I just got that. It just kicked in. The little bit of orange peel just came in. Orange mesquite, almost like maybe like there's almost like even like a little bit of like the cherry from like the maraschino jar.
How about a little bit of cherry?
We got a little bit of cherry syrup.
Yeah. There's a little bit of jet. Yes, there's a little bit of cherry syrup there. That's I think where Mike gets his.
Oh, that's fun. That's a good time.
What about? It's been a while since I've done this, but roasted chestnuts, roasted
on an open fire.
Yeah, sure, sort
of a little nuttiness. Yeah,
there's a nuttiness to it, but it's because of the peat. It's a little bit smoky, like a can of like smoked almonds or something.
That's really fun. I like that. I like this. This is fun. I'd say of the four, this could be like, I don't know. What do you want to call it? It's like an adventure.
Yeah. It's way different than the other three. And I think Mike nailed it by saying, you know, this is pretty a lot going on here. This is 2,500 bottles. This is not, and it's going to change every year. They're going to.
Right. You know, they should have called this choose your adventure whiskey.
There you go.
Billy, Walker, if you're listening, call it choose your. That's what this means.
Choose your adventure.
That's a lot of fun. That's just a lot of fun. That gets it. That gets an A just for the fun factor.
Well, it's definitely fun yapping about it and trying to figure out
all these things
in there, right?
It's a conversation piece. That could be it. The conversation piece.
Boom.
How about that?
When we do the movie, The Conversation.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, that could be good.
I think I like the Chinkapin the best.
Okay. So why don't we talk about that right now? Well, let's finish up on our whiskey here.
Well, let's go with the bottom. We'll go from the bottom to the top. While I like the sherry ones, that wasn't my favorite. At least not again. These are, again, as we like to say, this is first impressions.
First impression.
So maybe I'll go back to it in a couple of days. It'll be the greatest. It'll be my favorite of the four. I don't know. But as of right now, the sherry one is good, but it's my least favorite of the four. Then maybe it's a toss-up between the Chincapee and the original. You know? Like, one's a little bit more like, not like casual, everyday kind of drink. The other one has a little bit more of a, you know, I'm in the mood for this. Which would be the original. The original is more, you know, you have to kind of be in the mood for that one. But I really enjoyed it. This one, though, I think the Turbo might be my favorite of the four.
Okay.
That's just a lot of fun.
Okay. Mike, what about you? What about you, Mike?
The problem I have, not that the Turbo is problematic, but I think that would be one I'd have to be in the mood for. Because I know what I'm getting. I'm getting a lot. That's not an everyday, I had a bad day at work. Let me just pour one off. That's not one we're pouring off.
Right.
I think I agree with you. I expected more sherry out of the sherry cask. I like sherry cask things.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I got a lot of sherry out of it. So I think if, again, not that they're bad, but if there had to be one that was a little bit less than the others, I would probably go with the sherry. And then I'd probably go with the Turbo because I'm a little bit afraid still. And then the original and then the Chincapin. I really like the Chincapin. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, I think I like the Chincapin the most. It was a good sipper.
Yeah, I see that as a sipper you'd have more than once.
Yes, I could put a couple glasses away of that.
Yeah.
Then the original, because that's just a solid, both bourbon and rye finished, aged. And no sherry. I think I like the Turbo next because it is wacky. There's a lot going on. It's kind of fun. And sherry's like my least, although they're both, these Oloroso and then the sherry cask. I think I like the sherry the least, but they're all good. But I really like the Chincapin and the original.
I think we're in agreement, which is odd because we rarely agree on anything.
We rarely do. Rarely do.
You're a big flavor guy. I'm surprised.
You know what I did not, actually, when I was on that website or the whiskey shop, I didn't actually see the Turbo on there. I'm gonna look around while we chat. So let's talk some final thoughts on the show. Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Amazon Prime. And did we have a thought on, it looks like the Turbo is, I see one website says they're about $100. So it's a little bit more than the other ones, which are 75.
It's a limited release,
2,500 bottles. So that's pretty good.
I guess the Turbo is their equivalent.
I wonder if annually it will taste a little bit different.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it'll be a different kind of expression every year, much like what the car chases or something.
Right, the car chase.
Right. That's what I was going to say. You go. When you cut me off, that's what I was going to say. This is like their version of the car chase.
No, I paused. I thought you were letting me in.
I wasn't pausing. I was talking. You're rude. You're just rude.
Boys and girls, no fighting.
Once again, would you do like to be alone?
Boys and girls, no fighting. or wagering.
But no, I was going to say the same thing. This feels like it will be like their equivalent of the car chase.
Yeah.
Or the Abuna or one of those kind of deals.
Right, you know, one of those. Yeah.
I know I've mentioned, sorry to interrupt our TV talk for a minute, but I mentioned Billy Walker a few times. We probably should talk a little bit about him. So he goes back to like half of a century, right? He and a team bought Benriach, and then they developed stuff for, I think, what, Glendronach and Glenn Glasgow, I think. And then it was sold to Brown-Forman, Benriach, right? And then he acquired Glenallachie, but I think the deal was when he got Glenallachie, he got all of the stock of all the barrels. So there's something like, it was some crazy number, like 25,000 barrels of whiskey that's been there for like ever that he has to play with right? So before they even started like doing their own distillation, he has all this stock to mess around with. So I'm not sure if this is older. Some of this stuff has like got old stock in it or not. Who knows? Mm-hmm. They can only use the youngest whiskey in there. But that's how this whole Glenallachie kind of thing started. And you've got this great inventory of product that you can, you know, go dive into.
I mean, so, is it similar to when, what's his name, Marc Regnier picked up Bruichladdich?
Yeah, exactly.
Where he had all this old stock and he just missed
it. I think there was a lot less of it, but stock.
Choose your own adventure.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Let's wrap this baby up.
Final thoughts on the show.
Put a big bow on the. Put a big one of those cars that you buy for your significant other at Christmas time, and you put a big bow on it and a puppy on.
You buy cars for your significant.
Yeah, and you put it on the driveway, and you put a puppy on the driver's seat, and then you say, "Honey, look what we got! Look what I got you for Christmas."
I'm sorry for all you animal lovers out there. Puppy's a bad gift. That's like handing somebody a child. Here you go. Have a kid.
Have a puppy and a new Oldsmobile. It's
like what sort of trafficking arrangement are you involved in?
Exactly. What the hell's wrong with you?
I'm just saying. It's like that's not a gift. That's responsibility.
It's an obligation. It's a bill.
Like a car is not.
Right.
Like a car is not.
Yeah, but you know, cars today, they either work or they don't. So, you know.
Oh, and puppies
when they work, they work. And when they don't, well, good luck.
No, puppies fall asleep a lot. Oh, that's good. Okay, so back to Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yes, final thoughts
on it. Did we like it? I think we said this in the beginning.
I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was one of the fun things I
the
watched.
The only suspend your disbelief for me is that both characters are rather petite. Yeah. So the close-up fighting, I always find to be like, really? You're going to hold your own in the fight?
Yeah.
This is the Tom Cruise fighting people. We're like, really? You're gonna,
you know, okay. Why don't you say that to Bruce Lee? Go exhume sure. Bruce Lee. And go again, have a seance.
I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying,
it's Hollywood.
Bruce Willis. Okay, he's a decent size. Stallone, decent size. Schwarzenegger,
you know what though? At least with Glover, now he had the gratuitous, you know, no shirt scene. Yeah. Guy's working out.
I had no idea he was ripped. That built. He's really good. Yeah. He's cut. Yeah.
He could definitely be a center fielder for the pick a team. Sure.
Again, I'm not saying that either one of them couldn't beat me into submission. I'm just saying against other henchmen.
It would help that you couldn't run away. You just had to stand there and take it.
I'd be like, Ron, they'd throw me off a roof. I could have been Ron Perlman.
I
can't catch my breath. I just want a cigarette. Please throw me off the roof.
I need a break.
Final thoughts.
Eric. I don't disagree with you. That we didn't talk about that during the violent section of this, the action section of this podcast, but I agree with you. You definitely have to suspend your belief in almost all action movies.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, that we could do a whole episode about the lack of reality and all that
stuff. That's the whole thing, right? It's the land of make-believe. Yes.
Correct. I totally enjoyed this. I was shocked how good it was from the beginning. I loved the concept of it. Yes, it's been done before. And yes, this title has been used before. But I just loved the concept of watching a relationship evolve while they work together, forget what they do, but while they work together and trying to get through the pitfalls of a relationship and the pitfalls of work and working together. I thought it was really good. And I just loved their chemistry together. I was shocked by how much I liked their chemistry. They were really good together. So I highly recommend it.
You know, it was great. The show actually lived up to and surpassed the trailer because the trailer was fantastic.
Yeah.
That's what got me sucked in. I thought the trailer was really good.
I'm not sure I saw the trailer, actually.
The trailer was good because they're playing Al Green, Love and Happiness, the whole time. And it's really good. And they didn't just put all the good parts in the trailer.
Yeah.
Which is nice. So I like their chemistry. I like the premise. I like the whole guest spots.
The cameos.
I thought that was fantastic. That was great. Because like you're looking at it like, oh my God, it's Sharon Horgan. Oh my God, it's John Turturro. It was great. You know, the people that I like.
If they come back for another season,
who are they going
to
get next?
I wonder if there will be people beating down their door to be like, please put me in it. Please.
Yeah. Well,
I'll hold open the door. I don't care. I want to be in it.
It's funny you said that. I could definitely see this thing getting some Emmy nominations next year. And that's the kind of thing where all of a sudden you got people knocking on their door. Hey, I want to be in this. Right. Look at or it gets enough buzz, maybe not even Emmy nominations, but or Golden Globes. It gets enough buzz that, hey, this is kind of cool. I could do an episode of this. What did I just see that Murders in the Building? Is that what it's called? Murders in the Building?
Yeah, only
Murders in the Building. How that thing has evolved from season one. Now we're going into season three, four. And
four.
Yeah. they're already adding people.
Yeah.
People, Meryl Streep wants to be on a TV show. And she's coming back.
Yeah, she's going to be back again.
Eugene Levy is coming onto the show now. This is amazing. And, you know, it's like great people want to work with great people. And I think that's a lot of it. So cheers to Donald Glover for putting this thing together and for him and Maya Erskine to work so well together. The concept is great. I hope it does come back. I haven't heard anything about it coming back, but it's definitely, it definitely could come back. It's not, nobody dies. They don't die off. So they are alive and well at the end of this episode, end of the season.
Are they?
Aren't they?
Do we know that? We don't know that.
Don't we know that? Oh, please.
Don't open ended.
Very open-ended. They're very open-ended.
I want to believe that they're alive. Well, this was great, guys. We had to thank again our friends at Impex Beverages for sending us these, what was it called? Four really lovely single malts, all pretty highly peated, and really different. All four of them are really different.
And the car guy in me appreciates that they called one the Turbo. I like
that. That's right.
That's cool.
Thanks to Impex. Thanks to you guys for coming on and watching us here tonight.
Always a pleasure.
Not you guys. I meant our audience.
Legion of Fan.
This was a really fun episode.
Our audience of one.
It will be coming out as a podcast very shortly. And remember to keep checking on boozedancing.com, checking Instagram for those wonderful reviews that the boys do of all kinds of spirits. And we will be back very soon with another podcast about something and something to drink. Is that kind of vague?
Hey, you forgot. Did you thank our writer, the letter writer? What was his name?
Oh, yeah. We got to thank as usual, keep the cards and letters coming. We'll probably read another one in a few months. And we got to thank Walter Resnick, who's got his own podcast coming. What Buffalo. I watch when I drink, you know.
Bills.
And we'll see how that does for him. And we'll probably see him at the big podcast convention in India in a few months. Yeah, in June. Right. All right, guys. Signing off here. Cheers to everyone. Have a great whiskey wet Wednesday wherever you are. Cheers.
All right. Shall I roll the credits?
Roll the credits. Get us out of here. All right.
Okay. Cheers, boys.
If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com. And if you have any questions, comments, show, or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.